Umimoats of Seim, and from the result of their counsels, Yisbeu, they will become sated and full. What is the idea of eating from the fruit? You would think, perhaps, I think the expression of fruit has a few connotations here. Literally, I'd say that you would think that the punishment is that much greater, seemingly, from that which they had done. The idea is that everything bears fruit. Everything recreates and continues to expand, everything in nature. So the fact is that this was a continuation of the fruits. These are the fruits of the fruit, the pu'ula, the outcome, mipri, that came darkon from their evil way. All they did was not want to walk into the Beis Medrash and not hear the reproach of God. Since they didn't walk in Beis Medrash and didn't hear the reproach of God, they went in this evil way, and the ultimate whirlwind that overpowers them and destroys them is a result of the fruits of their direction in which they went. So the yechlu, they'll have to eat and suffer mipri darkom, and mimoatzoseim, the advice and the decision that they made up to be a cynical person or to accept it, yisbo'u, this will come and fill them up. Now, others say that this refers to the keren that he eats, is Be'ela Mazer, the basic sin itself. The Gemara in Kedushin explains, the Metzudas brings down, and Rashi, etc., that this is a true, if the sins have produced fruit, if a sin bears no fruit, then the punishment is given out completely. But if a sin brings about fruit, then the person is punished on this world and also in the world to come. The idea of Chilul Hashem, by Chilul Hashem, that's a sin that produces fruit. The person could do a minor thing, but if he causes a Chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name, so therefore the one who sees him do it later will continue to sin, and this would be the Eichlim Perisehen. We always say, Keren Kayemes, right. And the idea is that the chatoyim is also in the sense in both worlds. Ki mishuvas psoyim tahagim, the fact that they slid back, the naive approach, psuas psoyim vishalvas ksilim tahabdeim. Naive approach meaning backsliding, that they didn't bother to delve into something. And the chsil, the cynic, who says, I only do that which I comprehend and understand, and he finds peace with himself, that will be the end, the result of his punishment. Vishameali, but one who listens to the chokhmah that screams out from inside, yishkain betach, he will sit steadfastly, he will dwell strongly and steadfast. Vishanan, vishanim vishananim yiyu, that vishanan meaning, and he will be tranquil, mipachad raw, from the fear, he has nothing to fear. A person who goes in the way of chokhmah, so he knows that he has the protection of God. Vishanan, he will find tranquility and peace. Mipachad, he won't even have the fear, roav of evil. Not only the evil won't happen, but the concern, a lot of times the fear of evil is much worse than the trouble that happens at the end. So this person will find tranquility, shanan, and he will be peaceful without even having any fear of evil happening to him. Take to heart, if you will accept my statements, my words, and Rashi puts it in a different form. Bini, you will be my son when, in tikach amoroi, if you will accept or take my words, then you'll be considered my son. That's how Rashi interprets it. Or, like the Metzudas says in the same way, if you accept my words in your heart, like you'll take it seriously, then you can be called my son. Umitzvosai titzpon itoch, and my commandments you will treasure itoch with you. So now he uses like two words here. He uses amorai and mitzvosai. Most of the commentaries learn that amorai umitzvosai is just two ways of saying it, literary, you know. Im tikach amorai umitzvosai titzpon itoch, if you'll take serious my statements and my mitzvahs, you will like make part of your character. So it's like reiterating it. And throughout the chapter, it would seem that every phrase is like reiterated in different language, which is the same idea. But just we'll take a few excerpts. The Malden, however, in his way, goes into every word. And by him, there's no such thing almost as redundancy for poetic or for emphasis. But by him, there's, for example, he says there's a difference between amoroi and mitzvosai, between an omer and a mitzvah, meaning omer is saying like, and mitzvah is like mitzaveh, commanding. Says the mitzvah, the one who commands you, so that forces you to keep the command. Like a father used to tell a son to do it, there's an obligation on a son to do it. Or a master telling a servant to do it, that's an obligation. And there is in Chochmah, meaning the Chochmah spoken about in the first chapter, it has mitzvos involved in it. Just like we have the mitzvahs of the Torah, for example, that you're obligated to do. And that's what he means, umitzvosai titzpon itoch, that you will hide those mitzvahs with you, meaning you will guard them in your heart, never to forget them. Laman tizkeru vasisem es kol mitzvosai, like we say in the Shema, remember all the mitzvahs. So take this, make it part of your being, guard it in your heart, make it part of your being that you will remember to do mitzvahs. The idea of also, like he emphasizes, the idea of to put it in your heart, never to forget it. What's the expression? Why don't you put it in your brain, never to forget it? It's like put it in your heart, never to forget it. Because it should become such a part of your personality that it'll be done naturally. You know, you'll never forget the daven in the morning. Why? Because that's deeply, even in the vernacular, you would say it's deeply embedded in your heart. You won't say it's deeply embedded in your brain that you have to daven every day. You say it's deeply embedded in your heart because it becomes part of your personality, part of your character, not necessarily part of your knowledge. So the same concept here, he's saying, is the mitzvah titzpon. Titzpon means hiding it. When you use the expression hide, you always say hide it in your heart. Aman tizkeru. And then he says there is also in Chochmah, there is also in Chochmah, which is Torah, there like the Musar of the Torah, and Divrei Emunos Videos, meaning there is also in the Torah involved, addition to the mitzvahs, there are concepts of beliefs, accepting beliefs, like in Judaism, there is an addition to mitzvahs, there is Emunah. The Rambam lists credos are faith, that the idea is not that believe in me, by us, nikar is mitzvahs, but Emunah, faith, philosophical ideas are also traditions are part of our faith. Also the proper chastisement or the way that you should conduct your affairs are also part of our faith. So he says that goes on to Amorai, my statements. So he's saying if from the Chochmah in chapter 1, Tikach Amoroi, you will accept my statements, meaning both in your belief and in your mode of conduct. In addition to that, mitzvosai, those aspects which are mitzvos, titzpein itoch, you'll take that into you and it will become part of your being. So this is the way the Malban interprets Pasuk Aleph, which you see, just the idea is when you take the Malban's interpretation, the Pasuk has much more meat to it, and it's a greater point that he's trying to emphasize the various aspects of Torah. Lahakshiv lechochmo ozonecho. So literally it means to listen unto wisdom with your ears, to make your ears attentive to wisdom. And also, tate lipcho latfuna, and also to make your heart facing, attentive, to incline. Tata means to direct. Lipcha, your heart, litfuna, to get deeper wisdom or deeper discernment. So if you listen to Torah, you also achieve all of this. So now again, the Malbim says, we find two concepts. We have emes and sheker, truth and false. And we also have tov vora, good and bad. So the Malbim says the idea of Chochmah, he says, he explained previously that the Chochmah is that which teaches us concerning all the deeds and the actions that good or bad can be used to describe it. If something is good or something is bad, in order to know that, if you have Chochmah, you could differentiate between good and between bad. And then he says, and bino wisdom, that goes a little bit more than chochmah. Bino wisdom to go between MS and sheker. And this is a very interesting word, because really there are two levels. You don't have to have such a great power of discernment to differentiate between good and bad. Good and bad is something which more or less is very evident. If you're not fooling yourself, you rid yourself of your yetzer hara, and there are no personal reasons, you're not dealing at it subjectively, you could describe good or bad. So that takes only wisdom. But to differentiate in beliefs, we'll say, between MS and Sheker, that already requires a different bina, a different understanding. So this is what it says in verse 2. Lahakshiv lechochma oznecha. Hakshiv meaning it just to listen. It doesn't take that much effort of your behalf. And tate libcha latfuna. But to get it, bina, to understand, to discern between truth and falsity, so that rate takes a further concentration, that means a further direction and more effort. Eitz hadas tovara, good and evil. Good and bad, not emes v'sheker. So they said that before, that's the famous word of the Nefesh Achayim, L'chere Adam HaRishon, could fit in, Miss Baby, with this, had to have Bechira. If he didn't have any Bechira, then what was the whole idea of being placed in Gan Eden? He had to have a choice. He was placed in Gan Eden, Le'ovdo u'Leshomro, it says, to serve and to guard. Now actually, the interpretation of to serve and to guard means to observe the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hashem gave him, the Chazal tell us, that all the mitzvahs of the Torah were taught to Adam HaRishon. But it wasn't commanded to Adam HaRishon, but it was taught to Adam HaRishon. And therefore they say, when he was placed in Gan Eden, it was le'ovdo u'leshomro. Ovdo meaning the mitzvahs asay, shomra meaning to guard the mitzvahs lo sa'aseh. That's what Yehuda Chaim discusses. Now, if you say that, the idea was, what does that mean? That God created the world, even then, with the Gan Eden, with Adam HaRishon, whatever he was, but there was still the concept of the Torah. Because we have to say that when God looked into the Torah and created the world. So we'll say if Adam HaRishon wouldn't sin, then there was no Torah, I mean, in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. So the answer was no, that the mitzvahs were really presented to Adam HaRishon. Therefore, the Achaim speaks later in the end of Bereshis, in the last chapter. So he says, for example, we say the Ovis all kept Torah. Hashem Ve'ever taught. How did they know the Torah? Right, we say some they were highly attuned to it because of their spiritual state. But Shem Ve'ever, did they have that concept? The answer is really Shem Ve'ever, Shem got the Torah from his Tata Odom. I mean, even after he went out of paradise, he still had the Torah. So the Torah was transmitted from Odom to Shem, you understand? But it wasn't obligatory upon them, because the obligatory was given later when the Jews were accepting the Torah in the form of obligation. But Adam did have Torah, so his person in Gan Eden was really also to serve God, Le'ovdo L'Shomra, by making the right choices. So then what is the meaning that if you eat from that, you will be able to eat Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra? So it would seem you'll eat from the knowledge between good and evil. V'Yisa L'Lakim, you'll be like a god, you'll have wisdom to differentiate between good and between evil. Now, the Nefesh HaChaim asks, so what was the whole idea? So he said, Nefesh HaChaim, now he says that the idea of Chaim V'Lodin, that the idea is, before the distinction was between MS and Sheker, between truth and false. Then there became good, and there became evil. So good and evil is different than truth and false, because not everything that's true could be good. I mean, but if you're pure, so then really truth and false is absolute, right? In many aspects. For example, they were naked. The concept of nakedness was because, so what's wrong? So you see the private parts of a person. What's wrong? What's the pshat if you see the private parts of a person? It's a metzias, right? I mean, it's a fact of life, just like you have the private parts, you have the public parts. What constitutes the idea that the mouth, that the food goes in, that's public, and that's painted, and when the food comes out, Manschuldigen, so that's, we have to say Manschuldigen, that's it, nobody talks about it. What makes this this way, what makes this that way? If you're going to go with truth and false, there's no differentiation. In fact, I think it was Thoreau or Emerson, one of those... Thoreau must have been, he was a Michigan, I think, that which one was a little off, I forgot already. But one of them said that the world is topsy-turvy, because when you eat, he says, everybody gets dressed up fine, everybody is beautiful, and they publicly. And he says, when you have to relieve yourself, you go and lock yourself up in a place, and as nobody should see, and hidden. He says, L'cheir, it's the other way around. There you're compelled, you have nothing, you're forced by nature that you have to relieve yourself. But to put the food in, he says, you have a choice. So why all of a sudden is this, we'll say, demeaning and degrading and so on, right? And this is a fine art of, some people, this is the highest point in their life when they could taste different cookings. I just saw a menu advertised from the Ethiopian cooking. The Lubavitch is serving Ethiopian cooking in Colombia. But it's a beautiful menu. It says, what? Everything ends with a W-A-T or a W-O-T. I never heard of Ethiopian cooking, but now the Jews, we need Ethiopian cooking. It says, by a request, you get a fork and a knife. But Lamaise, I don't know what Ethiopian cooking is. I know for Chinese cooking, they go nuts. You can't be a good Jew without, if there's no Chinese restaurant or pizza parlor, it's a chson in the kihila. Right? That's the truth. The chassad and the Jewish, I don't know how we ever existed all these years as Jewish communities, the last 20 years before, no, the last 10 years. You ever hear a Jewish community? And you advertise, if you look in the paper, you know, so you advertise that there's pizza, Jewish community, pizza parlors, Chinese restaurants, I mean, these are all actual necessities of life. Now, this we make an absolute tumult. The mice there, we don't advertise it, but the kisayas and stuff like this, we don't advertise that. What makes this absolute and that not? So the test is by Adam Arishan, there really wasn't a difference because there is truth, right? And false. Truth and false are facts, all right? It's very difficult to reach that level, but he had that level. Now, good and bad, that already means the Yetzer Hara gets into you. And good and bad is always subjective. I mean, it's not object. So when he ate from that fruit, then already everything became a different approach. He wasn't differentiating between truth and false, but good and bad. Immediately was naked because there were certain feelings, urgings, and things like this which a person defines making this good and making this bad. But really, a deeper level of discernment then would not be good and bad, but the deeper level would be really truth and falsity, because we really see that was the level which Adam Arishan was put on in the beginning. So that's why getting it to here, so that's the idea of tate libcho litfuno, meaning you're going in the direction trying to get the absolute understanding to differentiate between truth and between that which is false. Kiim, that's a higher level. Well, absolutely. I mean, eventually we hope to be able to achieve that level of the difference between truth and false. I mean, good and bad means if the United States, will say, in politics or in world affairs, intervene. So right away the question is it good or bad? But when you go for a further clarification of good, it's always been, is it good for the United States? Right? Now, that doesn't mean that that's truth or false. I mean, the truth is people are dying. It's not good for the United States because what are we going to go and send people to Somalia? We did send Desert Storm. That was good for the United States because you needed the oil. So the idea is this is a new world order. So this the columnists are going to town on the idea of the UN appreciating a new world order. When you look at the new world order is a higher madrega than good and bad. It's already a madrega. It's already a level. It's going in the direction, tata lipcho litvuna. In a sense, you're already thinking not from good or bad subjectively, but truth or false. I mean, that is definitely a further level of understanding. All right, let's go back. Kim labino tikro, latvuna titen kelecho. Now, from the word of, you have chochma, bina, and tvuna. Now he's like differentiating between tvuna and bina. Now, bina means understanding davar miteich davar. If you go into the character, we always say there is chokhmah, bina, and then there's das. Chabad means chokhmah, bina, das. But here he seems to be differentiating between chokhmah, bina, and tvuna. Chokhmah means, now we'll explain it, chokhmah means the accumulation of knowledge. Bina means the deeper understanding to be able to use this knowledge. Das, they say, a different interpretation, if it means joining the assimilation of chokhmah with bina, having the knowledge, the ability to discern it, that brings you to das, to knowledge, wisdom. Here it seems the differentiation a little bit different. You have chokhmah, and then you have bina and tvuna. So like the Malm learns that bina means when you're like zeroing in on one particular mode of wisdom or concept to understand it deeply. Tfuna means to have the overall picture of many concepts to understand it all together. So he says, that's tfuna. So labino, tikra, you could aspire, you could call, because you're zeroing in on one thing, it's closer for you to appreciate it, to be able to realize your desire and your goal. Therefore, it uses the expression tikra. I mean, it uses the expression tikra, like you're close by, you could call to this wisdom and understand it. But if you're going latfuna, meaning a total picture, which takes a lot more, so titen kailecha, it's like far away, you could only lift up your voice to achieve that. Meaning to differentiate. You take chokhmah, and what is the whole purpose of chokhmah? Like if a person just accumulates chokhmah, he's a computer in a sense. He has a wealth of wisdom. Question is, when do you use that wisdom? You could have, like Sami Yishalmi, have a computer which in a little disk it has the entire Torah, Yishalmi, Bava, everything else. All right, so that's chokhmah. So we've got to stand up for this disk because it incorporates the entire Torah. But the guy has to punch in which part he wants, and then it'll give him all the sources. If you don't have the one who has tevuna to understand that I need this mimer at this point, and therefore the chokhmah will come out. There are people like that also. There are many people who are photographic minds, which they really have chokhmah. But that doesn't mean they're intelligent. They don't have any tevuna nebuch. I mean, they could have a photographic mind. I remember as a youngster, when in my days in Tiferes Yerushalayim, we can celebrate today Pearl Harbor Day, I remember when it was.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah, I was in a candy store in recess next door, 149 Broadway. A Jake Seinbinder's candy store, drinking a 3-cent egg cream, and we heard about Pearl Harbor. But anyway, the Meister was there. There used to be in the Beis Medrash. I remember coming at Tiferes Yerushalayim on the east side every day, a very robust person, and he used to carry two bags. In the bags, he'd be selling tzitzis or thread. I mean, little, you know, trinkets or whatever you need. A person that couldn't earn nothing. I remember the guys used to go over and they'd show him a page in the Morgan Journal at that time, whatever it used to be, the Morgan Journal, whatever. He'd take a look at that page of the Morgan Journal. I was a kid and I was overcome. Then you take the page of the Morgan Journal away from him and he told you the whole page. I couldn't get over it. You know, it's the first time I really came face to face with a photographic mind. I've seen it once or twice after that. There was a row. But that was the first time I ever saw it. Yet the person wasn't an intelligent, we'll say. It's not that he had any amount of tfuna. It was the fact that he was like a computer, that he had the facts stored within him. So that's really the chilik from chokhmah to bina, all right? A person is only a mavin. What makes a person great or intelligent is the power of tfuna, rather than the power of chokhmah. All right, now it says, im tevakshena, fine. So he's telling you all of this are attributes or characteristics of the wisdom inherent in what he told us in chapter 1. Instead of doing other things, go for the wisdom, okay? Go for the wisdom of chapter 1. So he's telling us this means going for wisdom. These are the potential. But what effort does it take? Amelus is also important, right? So it says the amelus, in order for you to delve into it, you have to go ahead. Im tevakshenu chakesef v'chamat monim tach peshena. If you will go ahead and search like silver and like hidden treasures. Then the idea of searching has to be this great effort that you put in for Chochmah. It's not easy. You can't sit down and really relax, and you're going to get Chochmah. Go ahead and find it. Now, how does he say you find it? For example, how do you get kesef normally? Kesef, silver, gold, I mean money. So normally through business, correct? You go and you're successful in your business, or b'maisa yadov, or you're a person who's an artist and a person who works with his hands. So you do effort of that type of work, and then you receive payment for it. Now, matmeinim, what is matmeinim? How do you go looking for hidden objects? You have to dig into the ground, right? Or go exploring out into the waters and find treasures. Matmeinim are treasures that were hidden. So he says, the bakosha of money goes on all the world. They're saying with money is like business. To get Torah, you got to give up all your taivas, all your desires in this world. You can't be involved in going after the pleasures of your heart. But you have to be prepared to sacrifice. You have to be prepared to give up your certain satisfying pleasures that you indulge in this world, to give it up for the sake of Torah. That means seek it like kesef, do business, exchange. You're doing mischa, you're exchanging something for money. And then the idea also, not only giving up your values, making a different value system essentially, what you're doing is you're accepting a different value system. So it's a vakshenu kekesef. You're ready to give up, just like a person sells what he has in order to acquire money. You're ready to give up what you consider important in order to acquire Torah. And just like a person digs deep in the ground with effort and physical labor in order to find what? The treasures. So chemat meinim tach pishenu. You also have to go ahead and put in that effort in order to find. That's how the Chochmah comes. Oz tovin yiras Hashem. So after putting in all this effort and wisdom, oz tovin, then you will understand yiras Hashem. V'das elekim timtzo. And you will find the knowledge of God. Meaning yiras Hashem, the fact that you have reverence, v'das elokim, and from that you will understand the greatness, the secrets of Ma'aseh Merkava, whatever it is. It says, timtzo, you will find, on your own. Tovin, yiras Hashem, you'll be able to learn and come to yiras Hashem. Malam says, then once you have that, you're like on your own. As much as you could find das elokim. You could even go up to know the secrets of creation, you know, the hidden secrets, the mystical secrets of creation. The Das Elokim Timtzo. You will find the Das Elokim. Now, on this word of Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem, there's very interesting discussion in the Mesillas Yeshayim. Mesillas Yeshayim was Ramesh Chaim Litzato, who was a famous Baal Musa. Actually, Mesillas Yeshayim itself is a Musa Sefer. He was a tremendous mystic and Kabbalist. He died as a young man. He lived only till in his 30s. He wrote the Mesillas Yesharim. And the Mesillas Yesharim is really the Olive Bay's book, we'll say, of Musa. He writes in there, I don't know if you ever saw it, The Path of the Righteous. He doesn't write any great revealing things there. You know, you learn his others for him, you see that. But this is very simple truisms that he puts down on paper. And his Hagdama, he writes the following. He begins his book, he writes, Amar Mechaber, HaChibur HaZeh, this book, Lo Chibarti, I didn't write, L'Lameid L'Bnei Odom, to teach people, Es Asher Lo Yado, that they don't know, but to the contrary, to teach them that which they do know. And they should go over it again and again. You have to read it constantly to draw your awareness to these things till it becomes part of your being. He says, but the world doesn't go that way. He says, the world thinks, and this is what he goes into, he says, people will spend their life studying any special science. They'll dedicate their life to that. Or even, he says, when you go into Torah, they'll spend their life learning the knowledge of this Inyan. but totally says they overlook the idea of putting in effort to study about Yiras Hashem and Avedas Hashem, fear and service of God in its simple form. And then he says furthermore, and this is very interesting because if you walk in, he says, and you'll see a person learning Musar or being involved in trying to perfect his moral behavior, so you'll say this fellow doesn't have too much up there, because if he had more brains, more wisdom, he wouldn't be spending his time reading this. He would be delving into greater knowledge and wisdom and Torah and Chochmah, but obviously he must be a little dull, and therefore he dedicates his time to the service of God. This is his Agdoma. So he quotes this pasuk. He says, it says in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech says, so it doesn't say Oz Tovin Handasi, I remember, you'll know to be a good architect or a good engineer, or you'll even know this. It says Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem. Then you will understand Yiras Hashem. So he emphasizes that all of this effort that he's saying here should be put in for you to achieve the first thing, Yiras Hashem. Once you have Yiras Hashem, then Vidas Elokim, I mean, he doesn't bring the second part, but it's understandable. Once you have Yiras Hashem, that's Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, then there is no end as to how great your knowledge can aspire and that you can achieve. Vidas Elokim Timtso. It will be all the way up to be able to achieve the true wisdom of God, okay? Now he says, Ki Hashem Yiten Chochma, Mipiv Das Usvuno, which is a very important point here, he says. Hashem is the one who gives you wisdom. Mipiv, from his mouth, Das Usvuno, comes about understanding and discernment. Say, really, that a person who achieves greatness in Torah, the part that the person does, and this, when you put it together with Tivakshenu Kakesef, we're speaking to be great, true greatness, means if you put in the effort, Tivakshenu Kakesef V'chamatmonim, Rabbi Aaron Cutler writes this in a Perek in one of his Sforim, he says, Im Tivakshenu Kakesef V'chamatmonim, that means the idea is if you will put in this extraordinary, right, almost above, beyond human ability, you will put into the study of Torah, then you will achieve Chochmah. Why? Ki Hashem Yiten Chochmah. Mipiv Das Usvuno. The Chochmah really comes from Hashem. Hashem gives you the wisdom. But Hashem knows how much effort you put into it, because he could see really what's going on within you. So therefore, he gives you the wisdom. Mipiv Das Usvuno. This can be, if you would take this muscle by itself, so that's the story about the two girls, that there's a Catholic girl and a Jewish girl. So the Jewish girl used to get very high marks in tests. And the Catholic girl didn't. She didn't get the never. So she asked the Jewish girl, what do you do? How do you prepare? How are you? So she says, well, I burn a candle. So the Catholic girl, next time she went in before the test on Sunday, and she lit a candle. You know, gave the shamans, whatever they do there, they lit a candle. And then the same thing happens. So she says, look, I also burned a candle. And says, no, I mean something else. I burn a candle and I study. So I mean, so the idea is like this. And they're both narrow. Ki Hashem Yiten Chochmah. It comes from God. Mipiv Das Usvuno. If you start with sentence six isolated, so then you go in and you light a candle. God will give you a present. Yiten Chochmah. Mipiv Das Usvuno. There it says you have to light the candle in verse four. Yitech Hashem Ukakesev Chamatmeinim. If put in the effort, then Ki Hashem Yiten Chochma Mipiv Das Usvuno. So then the response is an Hashem. But a person has to realize that true Chochma and Tvuna is really a gift of God. And the truth is that way. Because a person, if the Torah, you know, there's a lot of people that write a lot of Torah in a sense. But sometimes it's a little bit negius. What I mean, the Gias, it's a little bit subjective. There's a famous Gemara in Pesachim, a few places. Shimon Amseni, I once mentioned this, would Darish call Essing Shabbatorah. Wherever it says the word S, Shimon Amseni would give an interpretation to that word. So, but what happened? He came to Es Hashem Elekecha Tira and Miyad Porish. So he gave up. That means he couldn't understand how could you compare anything to Hashem. As Hashem elekecha tira, that you should compare somebody to. So he was Porush. So let's picture it. So then the Gemara continues, Achebo Reb Akiva. So Reb Akiva came, and he interpreted as Hashem elekecha tira, l'rabes talmidei chachamim. That means that you have to give talmidei chachamim the same type of a reverence. So I remember as a youngster, my Rebbe Zochan Evar told over this vort that he heard from Israel. What's the pshat? Shimon I'm saying he was brilliant. If he did all the essen in the Torah, he couldn't think of that which Rebbe Akiva said. Es Hashem lekecha tira l'rabes talmidei chachamim. So he said, the pshat they told him was this way. Be'emes, when you look at Shimon HaMseini, and you take any modern, any person of later time, even ourselves, you have five difficult questions and five difficult Rambams, right? And four fit in beautifully. But the fifth doesn't seem to fit that well. You've been working on it for who knows how long. So what do? So you just like, pamper it a little bit, pat it a little bit, smear it a little bit, that it should also smooth in, right? But deep down, perhaps you know that this can't be the answer. Five different things, so four, it's 100%. The fifth one, it's 99.9999. But if it's still a suffix, right, then perhaps the whole thing is wrong. This takes, again, like we spoke earlier, the Mer Shachayim, this takes a higher degree of wisdom, not between te vera, good and bad. It's good. Look, I put in my whole life on it. It's good. People will still learn. They will still learn. They'll know this. And it has some meaning. But is it emes or sheker? The truth is, it's still not emes. It's still not emes. For a person to go ahead and differentiate, that takes greatness. See, Shimon HaMseini, he spent his whole life in Derish Kol Essen Shabbatera. And he came to this one. He could have found the same answer. He could, but he really didn't feel it. So he showed this greatness and this ability to stop and say, I must be wrong and give up everything. Rabbi Akiva came along after him and he saw that man could possess such greatness in discerning between emes and sheker. So he said, such a person is worthy to receive the reverence from Es Hashem Elekecha Tira. So this is the way, I think it was the Hasidic word, this is the interpretation of, so there's so much truth there. That Hashem Yitein Chochma. I mean, if you're going to take the Chochma and judge it and realize that it comes from God, so therefore your approach to it has to really be also an absolute approach between honest and sheker. In fact, they say over from Reboach Be'er Leibowitz, my wife's uncle was one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas, Kamenetz Rosh Hashivas, when he was a young man, he came to learn by Reb Chaim Brisker, who was his Rebbe. He had written volumes and tomes of Torah that he had. But when he came to learn by Reb Chaim Brisker and saw a different approach, he took all his Torah and he burnt it. And he said that wasn't true Torah. And therefore he like started, you know, with his different approach. So the idea that you see here is almost a little bit like Shimon HaMseini, in the sense that the differentiation was between absolute truth and falsity. You don't play around with things like this because this chokhmah comes from God. Yeah. And if it comes from God, Torah, then there has to be absolute truth and between right and wrong, not right and good and bad, but between truth and false. So, ki yiten, ki Hashem yiten chokhmah mipiv dasus vitzpein laishorim tishio. But also he hid, or he hides, laishorim for the righteous tishio. Teshia means salvation. So what does this mean? He lays, or Toshia meaning wisdom, depending. So they bring down, Rashi brings down, that Hashem hid the wisdom with him for 26 generations until he gave it to the Bnei Yisrael in the desert. So that means in the wilderness when he received the Torah, that was 26 generations from Adam Arishon. Right? Which was 10 days from Adam to Nayach, 10 days from Neach to Avram, makes it 20 from Avram till Moshe. If you count out there, you'll have 6 generations to Bnei Yisrael. So that's 26 generations that Hashem kept this treasure, Vitzpon LaYeshorim, to give to the righteous Toshia, the Torah, which is considered, the Torah is called Toshia Miloshin Yesh. What is the Loshin Toshia? Ki yeshno, he says, la'elam ולא תחשב לעין כשאר הדברים שבעלם. Toshi are coming from the word yesh, because that's like saying it's the only thing that's not hevel, that's not vanity, but that's truth. And the Torah is lasting and it's eternal, so that's the idea of Toshiyah. Or others interpret, the Ibn Ezra emphasizes the Torah, which is the essence and the preservation of the world, as well as the preservation of the soul later. So that's what Hashem will give. Mogein lehocheson. The Torah will also be a shield for those who walk in integrity. He puts it for a shield for those, just like a shield protects the person. So also the Torah, we say, protects all people that work in it. Now there is a medrash in Mishle that they bring down, and this is an interesting concept. At the time that a person is formed in the mother's womb, the Torah that he is destined to learn is laid away for him. Now what does this mean? It says also you teach the entire Torah. We know that famous statement, before you get the shnil. But there's a tremendous message in this medrash. It says the Torah that he is destined to learn is laid away for him. I once repeated in the drasha in a class also the famous story from the Netziv. When the Netziv finished his chumash in Emek Dovah, so he went ahead and he made a party. He made a party. A simcha. So they said, what was he in a simcha? He said the following. When he was a young man, there are different opinions as to how the story goes. Either his parents or he, whoever it was, felt that perhaps he should take his abilities and put it more in the secular world. But the decision remained, or he decided, no, that he's going to sit and study Torah. And therefore he became the Lashna of the Shiva, and then he was able to write the Emek Dovah, which is his famous works, he says. So what's his simcha today? So his simcha, he says, will be, because he made that choice. Because what's going to be, he's an older man now, in the foyer, he's going to come up to the Kiseh HaKovet, and they'll take out from under the throne, they would take out the Sefer, and they'll say, this is what you were destined to be. So he says, so Baruch Hashem, now he can say, that's what he did. So I could add this in the Medrash here in Mishle, where the Medrash says, at the time a person is formed in his mother's womb, the Torah that he is destined to learn, that's laid away for him. So he either gets it down here, or if not, he answers up there. Why didn't you learn the Torah that was put aside for you? All right, we'll stop here.